Well, we will end up in Vegas eventually on our program today, but today we're starting out in court, the Supreme Court. Actually, the U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments today that will help determine the scope of what kinds of emissions the Environmental Protection Agency can regulate. The outcome of this could have a substantial effect on industrial facilities nationwide. Dr. Noga Morag-Levine is a professor of law at MSU's College of Law. She sat down with current state's Mark Bayshore a couple of days ago to explain the issue and why it's important. And Mark first asked what the central legal issues were in the case.
So the rule, as you mentioned, will restrict emissions from stationary sources, by which we're referring to industrial facilities such as refineries, chemical plants, cement plants, and will require them to control their greenhouse gas emissions through best available technology as part of any expansion or upgrading process. The EPA claims that it is authorized to issue such a rule under the Clean Air Act, indeed that it is compelled to do so, as a consequence of its regulation of greenhouse gas emissions from motor vehicles. The petitioners, which include a large group of states, among them Michigan, in fact, contend that the EPA does not have the authority to put such a rule in place under the Clean Air Act. And the legal question really boils down to a matter of statutory interpretation with respect to the authority of the agency, of the EPA, under the Clean Air Act.
And a few fairly recent rulings are relevant to this issue as well. Tell us briefly about those.
The history of this debate dates back to the Supreme Court's 2007 decision in Massachusetts versus EPA, where the court ruled that the EPA was authorized to regulate greenhouse gases as pollutants under the Clean Air Act, and indeed that it was obligated to do so if it finds that these gases endangered public health. In 2009, the EPA made two findings that are related to the case that is being discussed today. The first, known as the endangerment finding, concluded that current and projected levels of six specific greenhouse gases threatened the health and welfare of current and future generations. The second concluded that in the aggregate, greenhouse gas emissions from motor vehicles increased the threat of climate change.
And those led to what?
On the basis of both of these findings, the EPA issued in 2010 a tailpipe rule establishing greenhouse gas standards for cars and light trucks. Mm-hmm. Later that year, that is 2010, the EPA determined that its authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from mobile sources and the rule that I just mentioned triggered its authority to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from stationary sources under a different section of the Act. The EPA was basing this on a longstanding policy that existed in the agency dating to the early 1980s, which pertained to air pollution in general, not global warming in particular.
Why would whether a source moves or not make any difference in terms of the enforcement of emissions?
The issue here is not the identity of the source as a mobile source versus a stationary source. The initial question was that the EPA made a finding, as I mentioned a moment ago, that greenhouse gas emissions from motor vehicles in the aggregate endanger public health. That was step one. Step two was a promulgation of the rule, the tailpipe rule, that said because we made the endangerment finding with respect to emissions from cars, we're going to make a rule restricting those emissions. So the first step is a step about the regulation of emissions from cars based on the EPA's authority. The controversial question in this case is the next move, because the EPA, relying on the policy that I just mentioned, interprets the Clean Air Act under a different section of the law that once it is regulating a pollutant, in this case greenhouse gases, under one section of the law, it its authority to regulate under the permitting sections of the other section is triggered. That
okay.
there is interconnection, a statutory interconnection within the law. So this is not a matter of the logic of regulating cars versus stationary sources, but whether or not the statutory authority exists.
It's really a legalistic dispute.
I would say so very
okay.
much. Yes. What's
driving the stakeholders in this case? What does each side want?
Well, the petitioners would like the rule invalidated on the ground that the EPA exceeded its authority. There are concerns regarding the costs of implementing the rule on the part of various stakeholders. And there are, I think, concerns on their part that if it is upheld, the EPA would extend its current program with respect to greenhouse gases even more broadly than the current rule is implemented. On the other hand, the EPA, as well as many states who support the EPA and, in fact, filed supporting briefs to the EPA's policy in this respect, believe that the regulation is feasible and that they support the EPA's regulation in this respect and would like this to go forward.
We're talking with Professor of Law Noga Marag-Levine of the Michigan State University School of Law about today's Supreme Court session involving EPA rules restricting greenhouse gas emissions from stationary sources. If the court finds that the EPA can regulate stationary sources, how does that affect power plants, factories, the fixed sources?
Well, what it would mean is that in the course, under this particular rule, in the course of any kind of upgrading, that a major facility that is covered by the rule, and the rule as it is currently written is restricted to particularly large facilities, would have to control their emissions through the use of best available technology.
Technology, okay. Some court case decisions seem predictable, others less so. What do you think might happen in this case, and why?
Well, I would hardly hazard a prediction, maybe besides the thought that it is quite likely that it would be a sharply divided court, as decisions of this type have tended to be in the past. The key issue that is going to be before the court is whether or not the justices will decide to defer to the agency with respect to its interpretation of the statute, or whether they decide not to. And you were asking before about what was at stake in this, and I would say that beyond the immediate question of the regulation of stationary sources, there's really the larger issue of the ability of the EPA in the face of congressional stalemate on this issue to use administrative executive action to regulate greenhouse gases. If the court upholds it, this is a great political boost to the agency. If it doesn't, it would be a politically problematic loss.
We want to thank Noga Marag-Levine, who's a professor of law at Michigan State University, for helping us understand today's hearing at the U.S. Supreme Court involving the EPA. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
And for Current State, I'm Mark Bayshore.